Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone this morning. So we'll proceed with your blessings and permission, with the permission of Maharaj. We'll try to discuss a little bit from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So today we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter number 3, Lord Chaitanya at the House of Advaita Acharya. And we're reading text number 169 to 181. So I think 181 is on the board. So I'll just read the English translations and then we'll do 181 together. So just for your recap, we are reading from the section where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just taken sannyas. He's returned from Katwa and Nityananda Prabhu has misdirected him to Shantipur. And all the residents of Navadvip have arrived in Shantipur. They've had a wonderful festival. And now in this section, we're hearing of the interaction and the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, previously Nimai of Nadia, who is now speaking to his mother, Sachi Mata, who is somewhat heartbroken at the fact that he has taken sannyas. Text 169. Hearing these proposals made by the other devotees of the Lord, Mother Sachi said to the devotees, "How many times shall I get the chance to see Nimai again?" Sachi Mata submitted, "As far as you are concerned, you can meet Nimai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many times somewhere else. But what is the possibility of my ever meeting him again? I shall have to remain at home. A sannyasi never returns to his home." Mother Sachi appealed to all the devotees to give her this charity. As long as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Advaita Acharya, only she would supply him food. Hearing this appeal from Mother Sachi, all the devotees offered obeisances and said, "We all agree to whatever Mother Sachi desires." When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw his mother's great eagerness, he became a little agitated. He therefore assembled all the devotees present and spoke to them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed them all, "Without your order, I tried to go to Vrindavan. There was some obstacle, however, and I had to return. My dear friends, although I have suddenly accepted this renounced order, I still know that I shall never be indifferent to you. My dear friends, as long as I remain manifest, I shall never give you up, nor shall I be able to give up my mother. After accepting sannyas, it is not the duty of a sannyasi to remain at his birthplace, encircled by relatives. Make some arrangement so that I may not leave you, and at the same time, people may not blame me for remaining with relatives after taking sannyas." After hearing Lord Chaitanya's statement, all the devotees headed by Advaita Acharya approached Mother Sachi. When they submitted Lord Chaitanya's statement, Mother Sachi, who is the mother of the universe, began to speak. So this is now Sachi Mata's statement to all the devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sachi Mata said, "It will be a great happiness for me if Nimai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays here. But at the same time, if someone blames him, it will be my great unhappiness." So this is a very wonderful purport. It's very topical because tomorrow is an important day in the world. Anyone know what tomorrow is? 22nd of March, Sunday. Do you know, Amit? You don't know. That's a problem. Mother's Day. We're just reminding you. It's Mother's Day tomorrow. So, actually, yesterday, Boris Johnson, he gave the famous talk, and then they asked Boris Johnson, "Are you going to go and visit your mother on Sunday?" He said, "No. But I'll call her." Social distancing. says it's not safe, obviously, because of the whole situation in the world. So he said, I won't go to see my mother on Sunday, but I'll give her a call for sure. So tomorrow is Mother's Day, and this is a very, very important purport because it's all talking about Sachi Mata, her motherly love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and what the real duty of a mother is. So somehow or other, it's the perfect time. So if you're not sure what message to send your mother, CC Madhya Leela chapter 3, text number 181 is a perfect message. Whether they'll be able to digest it or not, I don't know. But here is Prabhupada's wonderful purport. It is a great happiness for a mother if her son does not leave home to search out Krishna, but remains with her. At the same time, if a son does not search after Krishna, but simply remains at home, he is certainly blamed by experienced saintly persons. Such blame certainly causes great unhappiness for a mother. If a real mother wants her son to progress spiritually, she had better allow him to go out searching for Krishna. The mother naturally desires the welfare of the son. If a mother does not allow her son to search for Krishna, she is called Ma, which indicates Maya. You might want to edit that bit. That might be too much. By allowing her son to go as a sannyasi and search for Krishna, Sachi Mata instructs all the mothers of the world. She indicates that all sons should become real devotees of Krishna and should not stay at home under the care of an affectionate mother. This is supported by Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18. Gurur nasasyat, svajano nasasyat, Pita nasasya, janani nasasya, devim nadatsya, napatishta shashya, namochayedya, samupeita mrityum. No one should become a spiritual master, nor a relative, father, mother, worshipable deity, or husband, if he cannot help a person escape the imminent path of death. Every living entity is wandering within the universe, subject to the law of karma, and transmigrating from one body to another and from one planet to another. Therefore, the whole Vedic process is meant to save the wandering living entities from the clutches of Maya, birth, death, disease, and old age. This means that stopping the cycle of birth and death, this cycle can be stopped only if one worships Krishna. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyakta deham punar janma naiti mameti so arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. To stop the cycle of birth and death, one has to understand Krishna as he is. Simply by knowing Krishna, one can stop the process of rebirth into this material world. By acting in Krishna consciousness, one can return to Godhead. The highest perfection of life is for a father, mother, spiritual master, husband, or any other family member to help others return home back to Godhead. This is the most preferred welfare activity for the benefit of the relatives. Therefore, Sachi Mata, although the mother of Nimai Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, considered all the facts and decided to allow her son to go out and search for Krishna. At the same time, she made some arrangements in order that she might get news of all the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is a very, very wonderful, wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. The love of a mother for her child, Prabhupada already said many times, there's no love in the world more pure than the love of a mother for her child. I actually considered once in my life that throughout my life, my relationship with everyone changed. My relationship with my dad changed. My relationship with my brothers changed. My relationship even with devotees changed. But the one person my relationship never changed with, to this day, is my mother. Like just yesterday, I was on the phone to my mom and it was like 20 questions. Are you washing your hands regularly? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? It's like, you know, as though I'm like, you know, a kid. Because for the mother, the relationship doesn't change. The superficial things in someone's life may change, but because the mother has a deeper bond with the child, she sees beyond all of that, and she sees something different to what everyone else sees. I'm like, Mom, I'm a 40-year-old man. But for her, she does not see like that. So the motherly love is very, very strong, very, very deep. And here we're seeing the love that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother has for Lord Chaitanya. Mother Sachi is in a dilemma because she knows, she is in knowledge. She grew up in such a Vaishnav cultured family. She knows that the duty of the son is to become Krishna conscious and the duty of the mother is to help. And for that end, the mother must allow the son to pursue spiritual advancement. At the same time, the motherly love is a block. She doesn't want Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to leave. So finally, she allows Nimai to take sannyas, but at the same time requests him to stay at Jagannath Puri. So this act of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, actually for us, we may never understand how difficult it was on both sides. Not just for Sachi Mata, but also for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Imagine how difficult it was for Sachi Mata to allow Nimai to take sannyas. Just look at Sachi Mata's life story. Calamity number one, her first 8 daughters die at the time of birth. First 8 children die at the time of birth. Calamity number one. Then what happens? She has a son, Vishwaroop. But what happens when Vishwaroop is very young? Vishwaroop takes sannyas. So first your 8 children die at birth, and then the one child that is born takes sannyas. They were distraught when Vishwaroop took sannyas. Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata and tried to comfort them. Bala hoile Vishwaroopa sannyasa korila. Matra kula pitra kula dui udharila. Mahaprabhu looked at his parents and said, Bala hoila Vishwaroop. Vishwaroop has done an amazing thing. Bala hoila. This is amazing what he's done. Sannyasa karila. He's taken sannyas. It's wonderful. Why? Matra kula pitra kula dui udharila. Because simply by this act of Vishwaroop taking sannyas, the mother's family and the father's family, dui udharila, everyone is liberated. Still it was difficult. Jagannath Mishra then was so much in fear that just like Vishwaroop has taken sannyas, maybe Nimai will also take sannyas. It said that Jagannath Mishra was so much in fear that Nimai may take sannyas that calamity number 3 happened. Jagannath Mishra left his body. This is Sachi Mata's life. After Jagannath Mishra left his body, then it was obviously Nimai and his mother, and naturally Sachi Mata was very, very scared. So then Nimai pacified her by doing what? He got married. He got married to Lakshmi Priya. But then, calamity number 4. Mahaprabhu goes to East Bengal and what happens? Lakshmi Priya dies. I mean, on a normal level, can you imagine a more calamitous life than this? Firstly, your 8 children die. Then your son that's born takes sannyas. Then your husband dies. And then your daughter-in-law dies. And now she's faced with the fact that Nimai also wants to take sannyas. Sometimes we say, I've got a hard life. Just look at Sachimata. Not only is Nimai her only son, but Nimai is her only protector because her husband has gone. And not only is Nimai her only son and her only protector, but Nimai is the supreme personality of Godhead, the most enchanting, sweet personality you can ever come across in the entirety of creation, is right there, and she has to let him go. How can we understand how difficult it was for Sachimata when Nimai wanted to take sannyas? Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj once told me that he met a sannyasi from the Gaudiya Math who was from Venezuela. And so the sannyasi was explaining that in my family, I had 26 siblings, 26 brothers and sisters. And he said, but when I took sannyas, my mother cried and cried and cried. He's like, don't worry, you got 25 other kids. Even then it was so difficult, he said, for my mother. Even though I had 25 siblings, when I took sannyas, my mother cried. So how can we understand what Sachimata, one son, the only protector, the Supreme Lord, taking sannyas? From Mother Sachi's side, to allow Nimai to take sannyas was painful. But even from Nimai's side, imagine how painful that decision was for him. His wife was only 16. His mother was elderly, and he knew also what his mother had been through. He had also experienced the incredible love of his mother. Prabhupada once said, if you want to be an ideal leader, then you have to have the love of a Bengali mother and the courage of an English soldier. If you just have the love, it's not enough. And if you just have the courage, it's not enough. Prabhupada said, leadership means the love of a Bengali mother along with the courage of an English soldier. So we can ask Niskinchana what the love of a Bengali mother is like. I don't know. I have a Gujarati mother. Nimai had the love of a Bengali mother. And he knew what his mother had gone through. But still, he knew. He made that decision. So from both sides, it was very difficult. From the mother's side, from Nimai's side. But because they were both steeped in transcendental knowledge, because they were both, of course, completely pure Vaishnavas, I mean, Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore Mahaprabhu took that step. In Chaitanya Mangal, Mahaprabhu's sannyas is described very, very wonderfully. And he pacifies his mother. He says to his mother, why are you crying? Isn't it a duty? Isn't it the duty of the son that when the son grows up, he should go outside of home, collect wealth, and then come back and make the family wealthy? Isn't that the duty of a son? So now I will leave home and I will collect the wealth of prema, prema dan, golokera, prema dan, harinam, sankirtan. I will go and get the wealth of love for Krishna and then I will bless the whole family. So I'm doing my duty. It was a good argument, but I don't know how much. I don't know how much it pacified his mother. Shishirada Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. Lochandas Thakur says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave up the small world of family life in order to embrace the whole world as his family. Sometimes people ask the question that if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew he was going to take sannyas, then why did he get married? Why did he get married for a second time? Why did he get married to Vishnupriya? Why did he leave her so painfully when she was only 16 years old to take sannyas? Why did he do such a thing? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas is a very, very deep topic. And his sannyas has an internal dimension and an external dimension. The external reason why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas Of course, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya glorified Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Siksartameka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Bodhiryastamaham Prapadye. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya glorified Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. He said Mahaprabhu's mission was to come to this world to teach people Vairagya Vidya, knowledge and renunciation. Mahaprabhu came to this world to teach the principle of renunciation as a core element of spiritual advancement. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, Mahaprabhur Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan Jaha Deki Pritahana Gaura Bhagavan. Mahaprabhur Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan. Vairagya or renunciation is the very principle of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Jaha Deki, when Mahaprabhu sees such renunciation, Pritahana Gaura Bhagavan, he becomes very happy. So because Mahaprabhu came to teach the world about renunciation, he had to have something to renounce. Think like, if someone's poor and they say, okay, I renounce everything. It's like, okay, it's nice, but what did you have to renounce in the first place? You didn't have anything, you know? Mahaprabhu had a very loving mother and a young, beautiful wife, very Krishna conscious. Just think about Vishnupriya's depth of consciousness. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, what did Vishnupriya do? She accepted it. She worshipped the deity of Mahaprabhu. And what was her level of renunciation in herself? That she would, what was that? She would chant some rounds, some names of Krishna, and for a certain number of names of Krishna, she would set aside one grain of rice. And however many names she chanted in the day, that many grains of rice came, she would boil that and eat that, and that was her meal for the day. I mean, if we did that, we'd be in trouble. Ain't gonna survive, you know? So Mahaprabhu renounced that. Renounced. Because Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartameka Purusha Pura. He came to Shiksha, he came to teach this. The other external reason, of course, that we know why Mahaprabhu took sannyas is because he showed that one may give up a worldly, ethical principle of duty in order to embrace a higher duty. And the higher duty, what was the higher duty? To give Krishna consciousness to the whole world, to spread to every town and village, priti viti acheyate nagaradigram, to go to everywhere and travel as a sannyasi and try to give this knowledge widely. So he was just traveling. As soon as he took sannyas, then he traveled immediately 4,000 miles in 2 years, walking around South India to give. Constantly moving, like Srila Prabhupada. One devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, I just want to stay at your lotus feet. Prabhupada said, it will be very difficult because I'm always moving. So he just moved everywhere. This is sannyas. So the external reason why Mahaprabhu took sannyas was to teach renunciation, but to also spread the Sankirtan movement, the higher duty, the paro dharmo. Save pumsham paro dharmo yato bhaktir adoksa jay. That's the real dharma, the highest dharma. Because in the third canto of Bhagavatam it said, you can follow dharma, but that's not the ultimate conclusion. Nehayat karma dharmaya naviragaya kalpate natirtapada sevaya jivan api mrito hisaha. Kapila Dev gives a hierarchy. He says, Nehayat karma dharmaya, all your karma, all your activities in life should lead to dharma. But then he says, na viragaya kalpate, all your dharma should lead to vairagya, renunciation. But then he says, natirtapada sevaya, all of your renunciation should ultimately lead to tirtapada sevaya, complete dedication to the service of Krishna. So this is the progression. All of your activities are useless unless they bring you to the point of following Dharma. All your following of Dharma is useless unless it brings you to the point of renunciation. And all of the renunciation that you can embody in your whole life is useless unless it comes to the point of complete, dedicated devotional service. So there's a hierarchy of principles. So Mahaprabhu gave up externally to show this. But there's also a deeper internal reason why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And the deeper internal reason that he took sannyas was actually to intensify his relationship. So this is almost paradoxical. Mahaprabhu severs material relationships in order to intensify the spiritual relationship. When Mahaprabhu left Vishnupriya and severed that relationship, the deeper meaning is that he actually intensified his relationship. In the glories of Navadvip Dham, we come to a place called Madhrumadvip. And in Madhrumadvip, something interesting happened in Lord Ram's pastimes. Ram and Sita, when they were in exile, oh, that could be my car, actually. That's my car, yeah, just move it. Yeah, that's probably my car. It's in my locker. I thought we were on lockdown, so I just parked anyway. Where was I? Yeah, Madhrumadvip. So Sita and Ram came to Madhrumadvip when they were in exile, Vanavas. So when they came to Madhrumadvip, everything was nice. And then what happened at one point during the day, Ram said to Sita, this was before the kidnapping and everything. Ram said to Sita, I want to tell you something interesting. Okay. Ram said, in this incarnation, you are in a golden form. Sita was golden. He said, you will go into the forest. You will disappear into the forest. And I will come running after you, searching for you. Sita, Sita, Sita. But today I want to tell you that in a future incarnation, I will accept a golden form. And I will go into the forest. And I will disappear. And you will be crying in your heart after me, calling for me. And in this way, what the Lord does is create separation in order to intensify the relationship. Vipralamba is said to be the highest form, in the most intense, the apex of spiritual love. So even when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves, severs material relationships, it's actually for the purpose of intensifying spiritual relationship. And this requires great depth of consciousness for one to understand and grasp this principle. So when people ask, why did Mahaprabhu take sannyas? That was, why did he marry if he knew he was going to take sannyas? There's a deeper dimension to understand the whole thing that's going on beyond what we see with our eyes. So Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and sannyas was also for the purpose internally for his own intensification. Because Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Krishna Naomi Svarupam. When Krishna came as Mahaprabhu, he came in the mood of Radharani, Radha Bhava. So when he came in the mood of Radharani, why? Because he wanted to relish what she relished. And therefore, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then this internal desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience the emotions of Radharani basically went to the next level. Because then he went to Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is known as Viraha Kshetra, the place of separation. So in Jagannath Puri, that was the ideal setting for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to then deepen his own intensive emotions in the mood of Srimati Radharani that he came to this world to experience. So this is the purpose of Mahaprabhu's sannyas. Sannyas is said to be social death. He distanced himself. Social distancing. It's necessary sometimes. Social distancing is necessary. Like, it's interesting, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, we hear of the Avadhut Brahman. And the Avadhut Brahman has 24 gurus. So different personalities or things that he sees that teaches him about life. And then, in the course of his travels, one of his gurus, who is it? It's a lady who is husking rice. And as she's husking rice, she has bangles. So she has two bangles on this hand and two bangles on this hand. And as she's husking the rice, then this Avadhut Brahman is looking at her and he says, "I've learned a lesson." It's very deep, you know. You see, just see someone husking rice with two bangles. I learned a lesson. What was the lesson that he learned from her? As she was husking the rice, then what was happening? There were two bangles. And what was happening? The bangles were hitting each other and they were creating noise. And as she was doing that, and this noise was coming from the bangles, then what did this lady do? She put her hands down and she took one bangle off each hand. And then she began husking again. No clash, no noise, no problem. He said, from this I learned that when two or more people come together, there is definitely going to be clashing. There is definitely going to be frivolous talk. There's definitely going to be a lot of noise. And therefore, only when there's one can you get peace. So that was an interesting lesson that the Avadhut Brahman had. When two or more people come together, there will always be noise. So one of the purpose of sannyas, social death, removing yourself away from everything and everyone, is so that you get some more space, some more peacefulness, some more of a tranquil state of mind in order to deepen your spirituality. So maybe that's where we bring this whole verse into the context that we're facing in the world at the moment. Because as we know, yesterday Boris Johnson said, all pubs, all leisure centers, all restaurants, everything closed. Don't go out unless you really need to. And basically, practically, most of the world is in lockdown. Self-isolation, social distancing. This has probably never happened in global history on such a wide scale across the world. Self-isolation. Everyone is getting a taste of what social death means now. I mean, here we're hearing about Mahaprabhu taking sannyas and becoming socially dead. So here now, the whole world is getting a taste of what it means to be socially dead. And it's difficult. It's so difficult for people. Why? Because we're social animals. People are social animals. So now to stay in the home by yourself doing nothing for days on end, cooped up, how do you cope with that? By the way, I was one of the first devotees to go into isolation a few weeks ago. So I got the first taste of it. Devotees were making fun of me. Now they're in isolation. Isolation. How to deal with isolation. How to deal with social distancing. Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas. He socially distanced himself. But he just took the opportunity with great enthusiasm. He walked away from Katwa. He said, all my social ties are severed. Etam sa astaya paratma dishtam adhyashitam purvatamir maharshibi aham tarisyami durantaparam tamo mukunda angrini shevayeva. He took it. He said, this is the opportunity. This is it. This is what I was waiting for. Now, mind, body, words, everything, invest it in the service of the Lord. Ahamdarisyami. And in this way, I will cross across the ocean of material existence. So he was enthusiastic. He just took it. So I think in this time, like many devotees are not able to come to the temple, maybe many devotees are watching online, and self-isolation for the whole world is becoming like a very difficult situation for people to digest. And the amazing thing is, even devotees are struggling with self-isolation and not being able to be in such social situation. But maybe we can consider for some time that the self-isolation that we've been forced into is actually a great thing. Did you know that there are three major reasons why people don't grow in their life? There are three major reasons why we stagnate and three major reasons why we're not able to reach our full potential. Number one, because we're too busy. Number two, because we're too proud. And number three, because we're too comfortable. You can do a little bit of self-reflection. Think in your life, at the times when you're too busy, you're too proud, or you're too comfortable, you will never be able to grow. You will never be able to grow in your spiritual life, grow in your character, grow in your relationship with Krishna. And if we expertly look at it, then this whole situation is a great opportunity to overcome these three obstacles. Because the first thing is, we can't now say, no time, Prabhu. It's like, we got all the time in the world. We got all the time in the world. Once Prabhupada wrote an article, early article in Back to Godhead, and the title of the article was, No Time, the Chronic Disease of Modern Man. That was his article in early Back to Godhead. So it's the chronic disease, and because we're all living in the world, we also suffer from that. No time. But now we have all the time in the world. So now the question is, can we utilize that time? Can we bring our consciousness, center our consciousness, be present so that we can utilize that time to actually do more reading, do more sadhana, do more introspection? They say self-reflection is a meeting you should never cancel. So these are the things, reflecting, deepening our sadhana, these are the things that get neglected when we're too busy in life. So now this period of self-isolation gives one a great opportunity. But the next problem is, are we able to bring our consciousness, or is our mind going to be everywhere else? Our body is in the self-isolated room, but our mind is everywhere else except the room. It's interesting, like when you read the 10th canto of Bhagavatam and then you see about how Akrura was going to Vrindavan to bring Krishna to Mathura. Because Akrura's consciousness was already in Vrindavan, because Akrura was in Vrindavan consciousness, before he even drove the chariot to Vrindavan, his mind was already in Vrindavan. So when he finally reached Vrindavan, then it was just like amazing. Because not only was he physically in Vrindavan, his mind had already reached Vrindavan. Sometimes I feel like I fly into Vrindavan and the mind reaches Vrindavan maybe like 1 week later. And then you can be in the Dham but not really be in the Dham because your mind is somewhere else. And so much of our life is like that. Like, have you ever tried to watch a movie? Of course, devotees don't watch movies. Have you ever tried to watch one of these movies where the soundtrack is off? It's like, so there's a delay. It's like someone saying something and then you hear the sound later. It's like, It's just so frustrating. You just think like, oh my God, I can't watch this, you know. Even if it's a little bit off. Even if it's a little bit off, it's so annoying. But our whole life is like that because physically we're in one place, but mentally we're in another place. So somehow with all of this time now that Krishna's given us in this period of self-isolation, if we use that time, sometimes I go to Vrindavan in January, and in 1 month of sadhana in Vrindavan, I do what I would have normally done, at least hours-wise, in one whole year. So imagine how much sadhana can be done, how much reading, how much chanting, how much reflection, how much writing. There's so much opportunity. Prabhupada said, a devotee is as introspective as a non-devotee is speculative. So as speculative as a non-devotee is, a devotee should be that introspective. So we have to develop this breadth of, to become very thoughtful. Like Bhagavatam says, this literature can be understood by expert and thoughtful men. So because life is so busy, we don't actually think that much about life. Someone just put a quote out. In the left side of our brain, nothing is right. And on the right side of our brain, nothing is left. It's almost like that. We're just not able to think deeply. So this period of isolation is a time to come face to face with that and actually to reflect deeply and see what internal work we can do in this time. This whole period in the world is also a time when our pride has also been smashed. Like a devotee rang me a few days ago and he said, Prabhu, he's in isolation. So he said to me, I'm so disappointed with myself. I said, why? He said, because now I have all of this time, but I'm so worried, I'm so much in anxiety, I feel so anxious, and I'm not able to even chant my rounds. Even though I've got the whole day, I'm not even able to chant my rounds. And I feel like I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years, and the net result of that is as soon as a calamity comes, I'm not able to be Krishna conscious. And I feel like that means I haven't made any advancement in life. So I said, no, it's not that you haven't made advancement, but now what you have to do is learn how to be Krishna conscious in this kind of situation. It's just that you've never faced a situation like this before. So this situation is very humbling because it brings you face to face with your shortcomings. It brings you face to face with the lack of taste, the lack of equanimity of mind, the lack of application that we're able to embody in our practice of Krishna consciousness. We're basically humbled in this situation to realize, you know what? I'm not as advanced as I thought. And in that humility, it opens up a great opportunity to grow. So I said, the fact that you've been humbled, the fact that you feel, I need to grow, this is actually a good thing. Because before that, maybe we were in some illusion that, yes, I'm a very Krishna conscious person. So these humbling situations that we're facing are very, very good. Because Krishna says, amanitvam, knowledge begins with humility. While you're proud, you can never learn anything, you can never grow. Even in colloquial English, they say a proud person is full of it. That's how you call a proud person. You say, he's full of it. Full of it means there's no room. There's no room for anything else to go in because they're already full of it. So these situations humble us and make us realize that there's some work to do still. And the final thing is that we don't grow in life because we're too comfortable. So here it is. Krishna sends an uncomfortable situation. Krishna sends a situation in which so many people are dying right before our eyes. And that creates an urgency that, we must become serious about Krishna consciousness. It creates an urgency that Krishna consciousness now. Like, here's a thought for a thought experiment. You can try it. I'll give you two options. Option number one, you can have all the success you desire in your life, spiritual and material. You can fulfill all of the aspirations that you have. You'll be able to achieve whatever you want to achieve in your whole life. And at the end of life, you can go back to Godhead. Option number one. Sounds good? Do you even need to hear option two? Okay, option two. Let's go back to Godhead now. Right now, this moment. Ready? Gopinath? Now do this as a thought experiment. Our initial gut reaction is obviously number two. Obviously number two. That's we think, intelligent-wise, we think obviously number two. But think a little deeper. Are you sure? Would you go for two? Or would you go for one? You say like, Krishna, oh, I go back to Godhead? Okay, just coming. Let me just tie up a few things. Let me just sort some things out. I mean, what's the rush? I mean, option one sounds like a much more civilized way to do it. Like, we'll do all the things we need to do here, tie it all up, and then go back to Godhead, and everything's great. Right? That sounds like a more humane way to go back to Godhead. If we're actually honest, we'd probably go for option one. Because how many of us are ready to pack your bags? Well, there's no point packing your bags, because you can't take your bags with you anyway. How many of us are ready to shut it all down and say, okay, Krishna, I come now? The thing is, unless we're ready to say option two without any flinch, without any second thought, it means that most probably we still have some hopes left in this world. Some hope is left. You may say, no, no, Krishna, I'm here for preaching, for service, because, you know, I want to be with the Vaishnavas, you know. In the midst of all of that, there's some hope. There's some hope that, there might be something. Attachments, yes. So I often do this thought exercise just to ask myself, am I ready if Krishna says, now, let's go. Because we're comfortable. We like comfort. So this situation makes the comfortable uncomfortable. And that's good. So the three biggest reasons why we don't grow in life. Because we're too busy. Because we're too proud. And because we're too comfortable. So enter coronavirus. And that's what it is. Coronavirus gives you time, hopefully, unless you get it. Gives you time, breaks your pride, and ultimately makes you a little uncomfortable. You know what? It's not good to be too comfortable in this world. Because there is no comfort in this world, ultimately. The whole world is a disaster zone. So sometimes we need to see the disaster right before our eyes to realize the whole world is a disaster zone anyway. So maybe these are some thoughts that I wanted to share with you. Mahaprabhu took sannyas. That was a very, very difficult thing for his mother. That was a very difficult thing for him. But because of their spiritual vision, they both agreed to taking that course. And Mahaprabhu's sannyas, ultimately, sannyas means social death. And there is a purpose behind distancing oneself from society. And now we get a little bit of a taste of what that distancing from society is. We get a little bit of an opportunity to experience that. So why not utilize it? Why not take full advantage? And why not see that in this problem, Krishna has given us a great opportunity. In these coming weeks and months that we're in lockdown, we're in isolation, maybe certain unique opportunities begin to arise. Like yesterday night, Ananta Gopal Prabhu texted me and said, can you do the Raja Bhoga Aarti? So that's a great opportunity. I've never done that in many years of staying at the manor. I've never done that service before. So unqualified as I am, we'll get an opportunity to serve Krishna his lunch today. And that's a great opportunity that maybe would never have come about without this situation. So are we able, they say some people just see problems in every opportunity. No, it will never work. It can't, I think it will go wrong. Some people see problems in opportunities. And other people see opportunities in every problem. So are we able to embody that positivity and that optimism to see that in this unique situation, Krishna, who is Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes, has a great plan globally and individually in our own life to bring more and more Krishna consciousness and genuine spiritual realization to the forefront. Hare Krishna. I don't know if anyone has any comments, questions. Okay, one, two, three. So Taruna, Radha Govinda. Okay. Oh, and Marge. Okay, Marge, you would like to go first.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you. Wonderful class. I was just thinking that it's really strange situation on the planet because about 44,000 people daily die of different types of cancer. And more than 3,000 people daily die of car crashes. But, you know, it's like coronavirus is maybe 1,000 people a day all over the world at best. And so, you know, it's like the world never panicked before for anything else. But now for coronavirus, they have such a panic. So obviously there seems to be a Krishna's plan in it to teach everyone a good lesson. So thank you. Yes.
No, thank you, Maharaj. Yeah. As we mentioned, this whole world is already a disaster zone before this incident. And even if this incident finishes, after this incident, it will remain a disaster zone. Because it's all happening. Because Krishna rubber-stamped everything already. Dukkalaya mashashvatam. Temporary place of misery.
Thank you, friend. Just short comment on this, Maharaj, just before my question. Maybe because people do not expect death from car crash or flu, but they expect from coronavirus. Therefore, fear is growing. It's globally. Whoever send me emails from any part of the world, it's the same situation. This fear is growing like crazy. Anyway, therefore, people are afraid. Anyway, Mike. I have a question and some small comment or realization. First is when you speak about this example of learning the lesson of avoiding association with this lady colliding bundles. Is that healthy situation? Isn't the lesson learned when you face and conquer and learn how to associate properly than to avoid? For example, I'm like this. There is strong hermit nature in myself also. And I do come into conflict with people. So I'm thinking, I cannot withdraw myself. But this is not a learned lesson. It's like, you know, like you cannot make any pot out of clay if you just move clay around without making dent in, pressing. So in this way, mind cannot be shaped by avoiding those conflicts.
Yeah. Good point. I just respond to that before your other comment. A very good point. Thank you for clarifying that. Actually, in the purport to that lesson, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada explained that what this means is that one should avoid the association of non-devotees. He's making that point that one should asat sanga tyag e vaishnavachar, that vaishnavachar is to give up association that is not beneficial. because that just creates conflict and noise and disturbance. But I think you're right that yes, of course, ultimately we have to learn the art of associating with devotees. And of course, we know that Vaishnav Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Goy, that Sadhu Sangha, all the scriptures explain that this is the means of actual elevation. But what I would say is that along with Sadhu Sangha, an important element, and we're all different personalities, so some of us are more like always with people, and some of us are more removed, like we're naturally kind of introverted. So for those devotees, they may need to hear more about the importance of associating. And for those who are always with others and feel like they always need to talk and be, and they maybe need to also realize that a certain part of their life should also be with themselves. Because sometimes people cover up their own insecurities by constantly being around people, because and they never come face to face with their own heart and what's going on in there, because they try to just blast it out by being constantly in a noisy environment. So we're all different, and both of these elements are important in a Vaishnava's life, to be around others and to also have your own sacred space. And we have to learn in our life how to expertly balance these two things, because you can go off the road on both extremes. You can be too so removed and isolated that you never benefit yourself from Vaishnav Sangha. And you can be always around people so much that you never hear the voice of your own heart. So it's the balance.
Yeah. This is very nice meditation regarding renunciation, you mentioned. Regarding readiness to go Krishna. Not interesting that I was also meditating very often on the same thing. I'm ready or not. And if you try to chant with this mood,
yes.
Sometimes I put myself in this situation. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to help with connection, to help, you know, to help with everything. Then your rounds will be absolutely ecstatic. You will just be overwhelmed. You just try to inspire everybody to try this. Meditate on that. Chant with this mood. Yes, I'm ready now. Maybe people who are really planning to do something in this world, you should not maybe meditate on that. But try, as I said. Yeah, you will see, you will increase your such a degree your relish of chanting. And sometimes real thing, yes, I'm ready to help with everything. And then my rounds are just ecstatic. You know, just one more.
This is a beautiful point. Thank you for sharing that. Because Chanakya Pandit says, if you want to be successful materially, think you'll live forever. I don't know if it's Chanakya or Nithi. If you want to be successful materially, think you'll live forever. And if you want to be successful spiritually, think you'll die tomorrow. But then when we hear that a devotee should think they're going to die tomorrow, practically for 99.9% of devotees, it's very difficult to live in that consciousness, especially if you're a grihastha. Like, you got a plan. You can't think as a grihastha, I'm going to die tomorrow. You'll become completely dysfunctional. But the one thing every devotee can think is when they put their hand in the bead bag, they can think, now I got to chant as though I'm going to die tomorrow. Or die today. See, because everything else in your life is very difficult to do with that kind of meditation, because it would be very difficult, like, you know, it'd be very difficult to, you know, go and buy groceries in the supermarket with the meditation that I'm going to die tomorrow. You think, like, well, why am I spending this money then, you know? So functionally, you can't live with that meditation. But spiritually, when you put your hand in the bead bag, that's when you can live with that meditation. And that's what actually the Bengali proverb says, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dhan, bhakti e Krishna namir smarana krandan. If you want the wealth of bhakti, friends, if you want the wealth of bhakti, the wealth of bhakti, bhakti e Krishna namir, take Krishna's name and chant it, crying out with deep remembrance. You have to chant with that desperation and prayerful attitude. So yeah, we can't always functionally live with the meditation that we're going to die tomorrow. But as Tirunaprabhu wonderfully said, when we chant, that's the one time you can live with the meditation that you're going to die tomorrow. Yes, Mataji. Just if you just wait for the mic, because
thank you for the lecture. Very nice. I just wanted to increase this mood of chanting and praying, to apply some for our mundane, what is happening now, that after all this corona mystery, what is happening now, it may be a deep crisis, economical crisis in the world, and we may have anything afterwards. Even money can go out of, no value of the money can be. So we can face very hard times afterwards. I was reading in a few sources about all these things, and we don't know what we can expect next month or 2 months later. So we can be in a prayerful mood.
Yeah.
I don't know how you see all the situation, but for me it seems very, very...
It's almost like a mode of ignorance means we're living in the past. Mode of passion means we're living in the future. And mode of goodness means you learn from the past, you plan for the future, but you fix yourself in the present. And I think that's a useful thing, because what can happen in these times is that there's so the nature of the mind. Like when I went into isolation, the first day, what happened is that the mind just comes out with all the eventualities. So it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever seen like a decision tree. So a decision tree means that, you know, from here, three things could happen. And if this happens, then three more things could happen. And if this happens, three more things could happen. And then three. And you start just in your mind thinking, maybe it will go this way, or maybe it will go this way, or maybe it will go this way. And your whole life is spent thinking about all the eventualities of what may happen. And then you waste the whole day. So somehow or other, we can't get locked into that. We have to learn from the past, plan for the future, but live in the present. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that wonderfully in his poem. It's here and now. We don't know. It's so volatile, the world. And anyway, the Vaishnava Acharyas have already said that. Kamala dala jala jivana tala mala govinda dasa abhilasire, that our life is like a drop of water which is tottering on a leaf, and that water could just fall at any moment. Acharyas have already said it before this incident and after this incident, that the same thing remains, that the world is just so unpredictable that we just need to get serious.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just wanted to emphasize that Prabhupada also was like supporting all that farm communities, yes, and all these, yes, things. Maybe he had predicted what will happen, that, yeah, it may be such situation that everything will lose this value, all this civilization, and we will just have to depend on the cows. So who knows? Maybe the time came.
Yeah, Yogi said to me yesterday that after this whole thing, maybe Krishna Chaitanya on the farm is going to be the richest person. Ultimately, he's doing it. He's growing the vegetables. That's going to be real wealth at some point. Maybe not after this one, but at some point in the future. Yeah, Prabhupada had the vision. So it will happen. We could go on, but it's already 9. So maybe we finish there. And I'm sure there will be more. Should we take one more? Okay. You want to say something? One more, I think. It's on, okay.
Sorry, it was a mute. Hare Krishna. No, thank you so much for your class. I wanted to ask a question in regards to a few things that you said with, you know, the whole idea of us having, or not us per se, but like even with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, having to sever all those relationships and kind of like isolating himself in order for him to be able to dive deeper. And we can see like us as devotees, even like in the temple and stuff, we are more or less working hard to, you know, do this devotional service. So there's loads of activity and loads of engagement to what in one sense would be to ultimately reach that state of renouncing it all so we can be able to dive deeper. So should what is our goal really to renounce in that same sense, or because we're still engaged in?
So it's like when you have a plaster and the wound has healed and it's time to take the plaster off, then there are generally two ways to do it. If you're the diehard person, then you just go whack. And maybe a more softer-hearted person will go under the tap, run it under some hot water, start kind of peeling it off bit by bit by bit, and, you know, ultimately the plaster has to come off. How you're going to do it, in what way, that depends on each person's situation. Success is not in just going like that, or success is in getting the plaster off. So everyone's individual. And Mahaprabhu took sannyas at 24. I don't know, like, how many people are going to be able to do such a thing. But the principle, Mahaprabhur Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan, because he came to teach Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Because Krishna says, Bogeshvarya Prashaktanam Taya Parita Chaitasham Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samado Navidhiyate. That while you are still investing hopes in Boga and Aishvarya, some enjoyment in this world, some hopes, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samado Navidhiyate, you'll never be able to gain the resolute determination for devotional service. You can't. Isn't even in the biblical tradition, you can't have two masters. So how you're going to deal with your attachments, how you're going to deal with the things that you need to ultimately deal, like become detached from, that's individual. So we just need to make out a plan. And so even when a sannyasi couldn't maintain it, Prabhupada was so open-minded, which is incredible if you think about it, that he just gave full blessings for a sannyasi to get married. It's like, wow. And I think even, Maharaj, maybe you can correct, in one case he even performed the marriage ceremony of someone who had left their sannyas ashram. Because ultimately Prabhupada said, okay, whatever is required now. And Prabhupada was ready to just give that chance. So we all require different things. Because ultimately, what is that? Gopi Bharatu Padakamalayor Das Dasanu Das. Naham Vipro Nacha Narapatir Napi Vaisho Nasudro. All of these things. We're not any of these things. We just have to become a servant. Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam. Leave back all your identities. So how we leave those identities in an appropriate way, that's individual. Okay. Thank you so much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Chai Gopi Premanande.